Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Monday, June 14th, 2021. This is edition number 31 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. If you'd like to, you can check out the church website. It's providencechurchevv.com, providencechurchevv.com. That information will be available to you at the end of the video. This morning, we're now turning to question number 20, which deals with or introduces now the resolution or the grand reversal that God determined to put into place in order to save men from that sin and misery into which they fell. But we're going to pray first, and then we'll take up question number 20 together. Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word now this morning, as we begin a new week, a new day, a new week, we pray that you would help us, that you would give us insight and wisdom and grace, that you would show forth your spirit to us, that he would help us and he would instruct us and teach us. We thank you for these very vital and important truths that we have gleaned from your word and have been passed down to generations of men and women. We thank you for your church and pray that you'd continue to protect her and guide her throughout all ages, even as you have promised to do. And now help us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. So we have been considering over the last number of days, we've considered the sin in which man has fallen into due to our parents' first rebellion in the Garden of Eden, and the effects and the estate that plunged all of humanity into, and the misery that results from it. And now we begin with question number 20. We are now turning into that section of the Shorter Catechism, which will begin to highlight the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, of course, is vitally important if we are to be rescued and redeemed from that state and misery that we have been plunged into due to Adam's fall. We need a redeemer. We need someone to rescue us from our pitiful condition. And so question number 20 asks, did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? Now, as we have already considered, that estate of sin and misery was given to us in that two-part devotional from question number 19, that all mankind by their fall lost communion with God, are unable under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. Now we have the answer to question 20, which simply says, God, having out of his mere good pleasure from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery, and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a redeemer. So there are a number of things to highlight here in this question and answer before us. First, we note that that God did not leave all mankind to perish in this condition. He did so. He determined, as the answer gives it to us, out of his mere good pleasure. Now, what we note there is that this labor of God, this work of God, it comes from him. It doesn't come from man. We do not rescue ourselves out of this condition. It is God himself who does the work. And he does so because of his mere good pleasure. And we note from Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, there we read, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Now, what is it that they rejoiced? Well, it's the words that come previous to this verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And so here the Gentiles hear this good news, recognizing that the gospel is for all men everywhere. And they rejoiced and believed, as many as were appointed to believe. And so this is an act and a work of God that he has determined to accomplish from all eternity. Even in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, or probably more a circular or regional letter, but it bears the name of that church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, we there read, even as he chose us in him, that is Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So what we note first and foremost in the answer to this question is that God did this work out of his mere good pleasure. Because he determined to do so, he then worked to accomplish the rescuing of men from that pitiful condition in which they find themselves due to Adam's first sin and their own sin. And so he did that by entering into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of that estate. Now, this covenant of grace is begun, it begins in Genesis, Genesis 3:15. People who have sat under my teaching for any period of time really know that I am convinced that the Bible is really a commentary on what God tells our first parents there in after the fall. In Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this one that's going to have his heel bruised is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue working our way through Scripture, we see how God labors to bring this, to accomplish this very promise, the proto-evangelion, the first offer of hope or the gospel, even in the face of rebellion and sin. And so through the seed of the woman comes a redeemer, comes a one who will rescue men from this estate of sin and misery. And that redeemer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is what the rest of the answer tells us. And to bring them into an estate of salvation by a redeemer. So it's interesting, the wording, it needs to be noted that God entered into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of an estate of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation. So the deliverance was offered by the work of God's foreordination, his predestinating work to elect some to eternal life. And he brings them into this estate now, this union and communion with him through the work of a mediator, through the work of a redeemer. And we know that this redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the administrator and the one who has accomplished all things necessary for us to be rescued from this estate. And in Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and through 34, there we read, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now that's merely a reference to the people of God, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. "My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, this is accomplished in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take that up more when we consider question number 21 in the Tuesday edition. But for now, it's suffice to say that the emphasis of question number 20 is that this work of bringing sinners out of that state of misery and sin is a work of God himself. It is a sovereign act conditioned upon his mere grace and his mere love for those whom he determined to save. And he did that through the work of one who would redeem or buy back his people from that state, that estate that they had so egregiously fallen. So we have great hope here offered to us as the Catechism now begins to move into how this, who this one is that will accomplish this work, the Redeemer and Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. That information is there before you on the screen. And so until Tuesday, may the Lord bless you today, and may you serve him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless.